From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst in Mexico City.
That hypnotically beautiful music that you're listening to is a new track called Eras by Juana Molina.
It's from her new album, Wed 21, and we're thrilled to have Juana Molina speaking with us today from her home in Buenos Aires. Juana, bienvenidos al programa.
Hello, bienvenidos ustedes aquí. Gracias. Thank you.
Juana is in the middle of a full day of interviews about her new CD, and we're really excited to have her with us today because we have a long list of questions, so thank you for making the time. Let's hear more from this track from Juana Molina's new album.
So, Juana, this is your sixth studio album. How should we say the name of the album?
You should say Wed 21.
Wed 21. Talk to me about what the feeling of this album was. I mean, it is your sixth album, and each album kind of gets better and better, and you get more and more of this really loyal cult following. So where were you at when you went into the studio for this?
Thank you very much. I don't really know. I had been pausing for almost 4 years before I started. I mean, I've been playing a little bit with some other bands and some experiences with Congotronics, and I toured with them, but I was a bit away from music, actually. I wasn't totally dedicated to playing or anything like that. I thought that I had to get away from my own formula of doing music. I didn't want to make another record which formulas I already know, and I know it's gonna work. I just wanted to do something different.
And what was different about how you did this album?
Well, in previous albums, especially Son and Un Día, the fourth and fifth albums, were the result of the experience of having to play live the two previous records. Segundo and Tres Cosas. I had discovered a new way of playing with my loop machines. So I was playing a layer, just one stream of music. And on top of that stream, I would put a boat, and the boat would just grab things from the shore and add more and more things until the end of the song, until that boat arrived into the opposite port or something like that. But in this case, I didn't want to be topping layers on top of layers. Like the songs would start from very little to a very big, thick sound. I just wanted to explore something different with different structures and with different sounds. And I honestly didn't know what I was going to do. I had no idea. I didn't want to know either. And then when I wrote Wet 21, I thought I had found a new thing, something different from what I had done before.
You know, when I listen to your music, I sort of hear a common theme going back to even your first album. Like I hear an influence of maybe Philip Glass and maybe even Brian Eno, you know, the texture of ambient and the freedom in the structure. And in that tune, the first one we played, that was in 7, right? It was in 7/4. And are those guys influences in your music and the song structure and the odd time signatures?
The only record I've got from Brian Eno is the one he's got with David Byrne.
My Life in the Bush of Ghosts.
Yes, exactly. I really loved that record, and I can't recall at all its time signatures whatsoever. I really don't remember if I got the. I listened to lots of King Crimson, and probably them had different time signatures than the regular ones, and I must have taken this thing that became natural in me because I heard that when I was a little girl.
Juana, I was reading a little bit about your childhood, and I read two things that really interested me. I read that you started learning to play the guitar when you were 5 years old. And I also read that you spent a couple of summers as a kid visiting Brazil alongside Chico Buarque. Is that true?
No, that is not. It's not. It's half true. It was just one summer. Yes. It wasn't in Brazil. It was in Mar del Plata. It's a beach city in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. And we spent a whole summer. I don't know why. Well, my dad was playing with them, and there were other musicians and the producers of the show. And for some reason that I completely ignore, we, the kids, were put in the same house as Vinicius, Antoquinho, Chico Buarque, and all the adults weren't there. So
that's amazing.
I don't know why that happened.
I'm just so jealous. What? How did...
So they were your babysitters.
That's the best childhood ever.
There was a babysitter, I remember. It was somebody's babysitter that took care also of ourselves. But I really don't understand why we were there in that house with musicians that were old enough for us, and we didn't know them. It was a huge house.
So what was your dad? Was your dad, like, playing with them? Was he recording?
Yes.
Your dad was a musician, first of all, we should clarify.
Yes, he's a musician, and he was playing with them on that show. But I need to ask them, why did they put us in a different house than them? Why were we with the musicians and they weren't. Maybe I don't understand.
So, but would you say that you have a, did that experience of being around those musicians at such a young age influence your music and your sound? Absolutely,
but I cannot tell in which way. I mean, my mom and my dad were listening to Brazilian music a lot when I was a kid, as well as jazz and the Beatles and all sorts of genres. They were very open, very strict too. I mean, they didn't allow you to listen to something they didn't like. Oh, that's awful. Oh, what are you listening to? Oh my God. So unfortunately, I became very picky and very, I have all this, or I had, maybe I don't have them anymore, but all these preconcepts or pre-judgments about anything that wasn't pretty or perfect or in tune and all these kind of things that, of course, I don't know how would it be if I hadn't had those parents. So,
well, I guess my question is, when your parents are like musicians, and I was reading that your mom had this amazing vinyl collection and you spend summers with Chico Buarque, what do you rebel against?
Well, I don't know. I guess if I couldn't tell how would I have been if I hadn't had that family. It's of course I had lots of influences and inspirations all the time because my mom plays a record since she gets up until she goes to sleep. So it was music the whole day on. And that's maybe why I can't really listen to any music now, because I am a bit overwhelmed by sound, I guess. And my poor daughter, for instance, she didn't have the same chance as I did because I didn't listen to anything when she was growing up, which is pretty sad.
There was something that you mentioned in an email to me, is that like, you don't listen to a lot of music now. You don't listen to a lot of music that's being made now by contemporary artists.
No, that's true. It's a bit embarrassing, but it's true. Because then you're gonna ask me what am I listening to, and I wouldn't have an answer.
Well, I have a question. Of those vinyl records that your mom used to play when you were a kid, what's one record that comes to mind? What should we listen to?
There was one record that I really loved that was called Canciones que mi mamá no me enseñó, songs that my mom didn't teach me. That were, well, of course I didn't understand then what was the meaning of the lyrics, but they were all, I don't know how to say, doble sentido?
Double entendre or double meaning?
Yes, that they were a bit unpolite or things like that. But the music was so great that we very often danced on that record and we played it 1,000 times.
That's because it's a very danceable Afro-Cuban big band album featuring Tito Puente, the Joe Cuba Sextet, Miguelito Valdez, and this track, Ay José, from the Machito Orchestra featuring Graciela on the vocals.
Así no es. Ay José. Así no es. Ay José. Qué rico es. Ay José. Qué cosa es. Ay José. Hazlo al revés. Así no es. Ay, José.
clasecita, que su Gracielita se lo va a enseñar todo muy bien. Póngame la manito aquí ahora. Apriétame un poquitico más. No tengas miedo, acércate. Acércate así, Joséito, que yo te voy a enseñar muchas cositas buenas, sí. Ahora date una media vueltecita así. Así, no, no lo hagas al revés, mi amor, así no. Así súbeme un poquitico más la mano aquí. Súbela así, así. Ay, pero no me aprieta que no puedo respirar, José. Espérate, suéltame, suéltame un poquitico. Ay, sí, así, así. Ahora, papá, vamos. Como le dice Graciela, para que usted prenda pronto. Tú ves qué bueno es, papá, sí. Aprieta un poquitico más. Pégate un poquitico más, no tengas miedo. Así. Sube un poquito más la mano. Aquí. Saca tu piececito así. Ponme la manito aquí. Súbela, 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 papá. Súbela así. Anda, Joséito. Ay, cómo está prendiendo, negro. Ay, José. Así sí es. Ay, José, hazlo otra vez. Ay, José. ¿Ya lo aprendiste? Así, papito, así. ¡José, así!
There are all these others, like French singers, Serge Reggiani, or... my mom is a big, huge fan of Bill Evans, so that those records were on all the time. Or singers like Ella Fitzgerald or Carmen McRae. They were so hip. That it was impossible to improve their taste. They thought they were like in the cream of the cream, and all that kind of stupid thing. That I honestly would have preferred to have some punk and some other kind of music as an influence, not so.
Well, did you ever? I mean, their music they listened to was so cool. And they hated, you know. Bad, quote unquote, bad music. Did you ever try and horrify them? You know how like teenagers rebel against their parents. I mean, did you start listening to bands that they hated?
No, I was a good girl, unfortunately. I was a boring good girl. And all they said was Saint Word. Everything they said, it was the thing. So I found myself repeating, oh yeah, this is so cool, and I didn't even know what it was. So I think I got to my teenager age quite old, and that what keeps me young now. But I have my revolution a bit late.
I hope someday my kids say the same thing about me, because I listen to a lot of Bill Evans and a lot of Miles Davis and all that, and maybe someday they'll say the same thing.
But yeah, you were the best tastemaker.
I don't know about that. Maybe your children will look up to me, Felix.
Yeah, they could be.
Wouldn't that be your worst nightmare?
No, with the music that you listen to. Possibly.
Juana, around 1976, right after the Argentine coup, your family fled the country to go to Paris in exile.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you listened, did that affect your music? I mean, did you listen to French music? What was playing on the French radio?
It was impossible to listen to any French music at that time of this world. I mean, pop music in the 70s in France was just awful. There was nothing, and I had all this, all my parents' influence, plus that result that I could tell that, and I mean, honestly, there was absolutely nothing that I could listen to. I never discovered one band or one singer that I liked in Paris, which is probably because of my ignorance and my laziness of not looking for things. But then when I was there, I found my group of people that were these kind of people, all these young teenagers that have the best cool records. But they were also a bit serious. I've always been surrounded by serious people. And because maybe I was too serious, I don't understand. I was probably very boring But they were listening also to what was cool, like Weather Report and Frank Zappa, that I wasn't a big fan from, but I really liked Weather Report.
Well, it seems like this is a good chance to play one of my favorite bands, too. Let's hear a Weather Report song right now.
Okay.
Oh, Juana, you're really spoiling Felix today.
You're playing all my favorite music. I just saw Wayne Shorter in concert last week. So let's play something from that album, Heavy Weather, and that beautiful ballad called A Remark You Made from Weather Report.
Okay, perfect.
I know you were really young probably when you were in Paris, but I just keep remembering another artist, rapper Ana Tijoux from Chile, and her parents fled to Paris as well during the Chilean dictatorship, also in like the late 70s. Was there a big community of people in Paris that were kind of exiles, young exiles, like teenagers? And also, I mean, did your parents talk to you a lot about Argentina and about Argentine music? My parents left during the dictatorship. And uh-huh. I remember growing up, they gave me both this nostalgic and very totally. Horrific vision of this place called Argentina. And I'm just wondering what your parents told you and what was that like?
Well, my mom was married to a filmmaker, and he was a politically incorrect filmmaker. And that's the reason why he had to go away from Argentina.
Was that your stepdad in France? Or
in France, it was my stepdad. And then because my dad stayed in Buenos Aires, he missed us. And he went to live in Paris as well. He didn't have a real reason to go there. But then, so I had both parents living with us in Paris.
Oh,
but
wow.
My father went there like a year later. And so we saw all sorts of very political exiled people. And I hated that so much because I was very young. And the only thing a young person wants to do is to belong to somewhere. So I didn't want to be the foreigner or the one that is different from the others. I just wanted to be another French girl. So I really avoided to be among these people that the only thing they did, as you just said, Jasmine, is to talk about something they would have never even thought while they were in Argentina. Like they were talking
right.
about the Obelisco, which is like a horrible pyramid in the middle of the street. and they were talking about that as if that meant something to them. It probably did. But I didn't believe them then. I thought it was just an acting thing that they were. I was a little mean too, probably. But honestly, my sister and I just avoided to be among exiled people because we just wanted to have a better time, just being French, learning French, so we could speak a way that people wouldn't recognize our accent, and try to I don't know, absorb some of their culture. My friends, I didn't have one friend from Argentina while I was in Paris. Not one, ever.
That's so interesting. That kind of happened to me. I just didn't want to participate in this obsessive nostalgia, you know?
Juana, you also brought in a list of songs that you wanted to play today. And one of them, I could hear a little bit of your music in her. This is a song called Parallelogram. Tell us the name of the artist and how you know her.
Her name is Linda Perhax, and I knew about her when I was on tour a few years ago. And the other band that played records all day long in the bus, played that record, and I really liked it. Although I'm not very fan of that kind of style of singing, I thought she had more than the style of singing. She had something to say in music, especially with that song, I think. And so while I was looking for songs to play here, I just stepped on that song by chance and said, ah, let's listen to this woman that not everybody knows about her.
This is called Parallelograms. Hearing her music was a very nice discovery. I had never heard of her. No, I have not.
Oh, really? Okay, great.
Juana, I loved earlier on in the show when you talked about your boat analogy, and your music has so many layers, you know? And even as you brought this last artist, I can tell you're really in love with layering. And one of our listeners, he wanted to know if you start off with a final concrete song in mind and then you deconstruct it, or do you start building?
No, I think it's the second option. I usually play something that really makes me play it once and again and again and again for hours, and then I realize that I should be recording that, so I go and record it, and then I keep playing that forever. And then when I see the track is really too long, I just stop it, even if I don't feel like stopping. It's because I get into, like, hypnotized by the notes or the thing I'm playing. And then I find a melody, or sometimes they come together. But in general, yes, when they come together, I just record the bass and then immediately go and record the vocal I just had in mind, in order to have them in separate tracks so I can use both in the recording afterwards. And then I listen to that over and over and over, and all of a sudden, oh, there's another idea that comes to mind. Or I just go to the keyboard or keep playing with the guitar or bass, and another idea comes in. It's like embroidering. I never know how to pronounce that verb. Embroidering.
Embroidering. That was perfect. It was perfect.
That's the feeling I have.
I think hypnotic is just a really great way to describe your work. I mean, I get really hypnotized by it. I mean, I just dive into it and I get really lost.
That's nice.
I'd love to hear another song. What else should we hear?
Well, we can hear either Wed 21 or Singiano.
Let's hear Wed 21. But before we play it, explain why you named it Wed 21.
There is a really very, 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 very simple reason. And I recorded that song on Wednesday, November 21st. And and then because I didn't find a perfect name for the record, I didn't find a, like, oh, I know how the record is going to be called. I just decided to call it with something that didn't have any meaning to me. But then I, of course, immediately knew that in English that it was a date. And to me, it was just like a nomenclature, just a letters one after the other that to find a file. I wanted the record to be called with like a file number.
Huh.
And then when I knew that in English that was not going to work, I tried to change the letters, but the letters were already part of the record and I had to keep it that way.
Let's hear WED 21 from the new album by Juana Molina. Talk more about your creative process, but it's a two-part question. And first of all, some people who are hearing this show may not be completely familiar with your music and your history. You were a successful comedian on television in Argentina for a long time.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you did and how long that career lasted.
Well, sorry if someone has heard this story before, but since you asked, I need to answer. I wanted to live on my own, but I wanted to earn enough money in order to pay my rent and play music. So I thought about a way that could pay enough and gave me free time to play music. And then I got this brilliant idea that TV was my goal. And then I watched for a few weeks every single possible show that was on TV. And then I found a place that I thought I could fit in because I could play some characters. And I had that young impulse that has no fear because I was quite young.
Right.
So I just went with no embarrassment, no pain, nothing. I just went, knocked the door, said, hi, this is what I do, and I think it's perfect for your show. And it took them a while to watch what I did. So I got very vexed, and I took my video back. because I said, I need it for someone else. So then I met that guy in a concert. I said, oh, here you are, but why did you take your video? He felt a bit embarrassed. He felt bad. And so I left it on a Monday, and on Wednesday, they called me back and said, listen, would you like to start working on Monday? And
wow.
Yes, no, it was great. So at the beginning, it was perfect because I only worked on Mondays. It was aired during the whole week, and I was getting the money for the 5 days of the week. So I was in heaven having six days free for me to play music,
wow.
Working one day on TV and getting enough money to pay my rent and my guitar classes.
Wow.
And then a year and a half or 2 years later, another producer offered me the possibility to have my own show. And so I did. And I totally forgot about music. Totally forgot. I totally got in my own trap. And then I got pregnant and I had to stay in bed. And for the first time in years, I had the time to think in general. And I realized how far I was from my own goal. I said, this is not what I wanted to do. This was an excuse to be able to do what I wanted to do. And then I decided to stop. And that's how I went back to music.
Well, I grew up watching your show, Juana y sus Hermanas. And that show meant a lot to me because there weren't, you know, as a young girl growing up in Argentina, there weren't like a lot of strong female role models. You know, it was a lot of like cabaret dancers and stuff.
Yes.
That show was just, I don't know, it meant a lot to me as a girl, you know? And I hear like a sense of humor in your music. And
there is some humor, but it's a different kind of humor.
See, Felix? Felix and I had a debate about this because he feels like your music is very serious and hypnotic. And
he thinks he's serious. He says he didn't understand anything.
Ugh, Felix, just nothing.
Thank you for that.
Well, how important, I mean, your music, like there's so many layers and you put so much thought into each beat and each, just everything. And I'm wondering how important are the lyrics to you?
Lyrics are necessary in order to sing a melody. Even though I managed to sing a couple of songs without lyrics, lyrics help you to interpret the song. And they always come last. And when the music is ready, I feel complete. I think that the record's done. And then, I have to write the lyrics. Who cares about that? It's not that I have a message to tell, a message to transmit, a message, an important thing that people have to know at all. But then when I go and do my homework and write the lyrics, I try to do my best, of course. It's not that I like to sing silly things, but it's a completely different process. I don't like to have lyrics that go over the melody line, words that are more important than an interval or something like that. I like the voice to be heard as another instrument, and that you discover the lyrics like by chance, only by listening and listening. It's not something that you can tell. And I don't articulate very much when I sing. So Sometimes you don't even understand what I'm saying, which to me is not a problem at all. At all.
I read somewhere
it
that...
It must be, sorry to interrupt you, it must be because I grew up listening to foreign music with lyrics I never understood, and I had all these incredible trips laying on my parents' living room with one speaker on each side of my head and just traveling through these landscapes these musicians gave me, and I couldn't understand what maybe if I had understood a word, I wouldn't have traveled so long, so far away, I wonder.
Huh. That's so beautiful.
Because lyrics make songs more earthy. They made them, I don't know, somehow lyrics could ruin a song.
Right. Juana, what's next for you? Are you going to tour in the United States so we can come hear your music?
Oh, a lot of listeners wanted to know that, Juana.
I think I'm going to tour the States in next spring.
We're looking forward to that. Hopefully you'll come someplace where we can hear it. Juana Molina, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Muchísimas gracias.
Thank you very much.
Siempre me digo voy a irme de casa y no.
That we're listening to is called Ay, no se ofenda, or Hey, don't get offended.
You can hear this track, as well as the rest of the music we played on our show today, in its entirety on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We have some really good conversations going on there. The show doesn't end with this podcast. It keeps on going on Facebook and Twitter. We're NPR's Alt Latino.
And don't forget Alt Latino Radio, 24/7 stream of the best music that we've played on this show.
Felix, who wouldn't want to hear us 24 hours a day, every single day?
I don't know. Somebody.
Somebody out there doesn't want to do that.
From Washington, D.C., I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst in Mexico City. This has been Alt Latino.